Rabbi?
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
Thank God. How are you?
I'm good.
I wasn't cued or prepared. You didn't have your famous song before I came on.
Yeah, because I waited for Pam Goldstein for the interview, but she's not answering the phone, so I decided to call you without that song. I promised to play it twice next time.
No problem. No
good.
Problem.
So Shavuot is coming.
We have Shavuot coming up on Saturday night. So Saturday night, Sunday night, and Monday.
Yeah.
Is Shavuot. So what is Shavuot? Shavuot is, if you go and look at the Hebrew word for Shavuot or Shavuot, depending on the pronunciation.
Yiddish or Hebrew.
Yeah. Means weeks. So it celebrates the completion of the 7-week Omer counting period between Passover and Shavuot. And the Torah, the Bible, was given by God to Jewish people on Mount Sinai on Shavuot more than 3,300 years ago. And every year on the holiday of Shavuot, we renew our acceptance of God's gift, and God re-gives the Torah. It's like, you know, you renew your vows. Now, the giving of the Torah was a far-reaching spiritual event, one that touched the essence of the Jewish soul for all time. And our sages actually compare it to a wedding between God and the Jewish people. Shavuot also means oath, Shavuah. For on this day, God swore his eternal devotion to us, and we in turn obviously pledge everlasting loyalty to him. Now, how Shavuot is celebrated, we'll talk about in a second. But you know, it's an argument that I hear and many people hear all the time. People that approach me, or people that approach other rabbis, and they always try to attempt to explain why they can't accept more Judaism into their lives. Because they were just born, they just weren't born into it. You know, they weren't born Orthodox. They weren't born with Torah observant parents. They weren't born with the knowledge. They weren't given the ability to be able to go to Hebrew school and so on and so forth. So their parents didn't practice. They didn't attend Jewish school, or even if they were, they weren't paying attention during religious classes. They can't read Hebrew. They've never felt comfortable in a synagogue, and, you know, they feel sorry, but it's definitely, now, it's too late to start.
It's never too late.
Right. So the question is that really true? Is that really a true argument? You know, there have been tens of thousands of Jews that have taken upon themselves one more commandment, one more mitzvah, one more Torah study. People, men and women that were not born into religious families, born into Torah, so on and so forth, but have chosen to become more committed, taking on a mitzvah more, and we all have free choice to change and the ability that we all have to succeed. Obviously, admittedly, it's much harder, you know, to pick up a new language if you don't speak Hebrew, and to adopt new rituals at a relatively, you know, advanced age. You might be a little bit older, but it definitely can be done. If one person wants to do it, it definitely can be done. Now, if you think about it, Shavuot is a festival where we celebrate this capacity to adopt to Judaism and commit oneself to God. The men and women that clustered around Mount Sinai nearly 3,500 years ago didn't really know what they were getting into, but they were willing to find out. Right then and there, they chose God and promised to spend the rest of their lives changing, learning, and practicing until they got it right. It's not easy, but it's worth it. So on Shavuot, we all renew and promise to quote-unquote convert, and I don't mean convert as in becoming from a non-Jew to a Jew, but we convert ourselves to make something a little bit hard a little bit easier. In other words, we take upon ourselves one more commitment, challenge ourselves. And it makes no difference, I truly believe this, it really makes no difference where we've come from. The real question is where are we heading? When Moses climbed the mountain to receive God's command to his new nation, God instructed him, say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel. Now, biblical commentators point out that the variant expressions, the house of Jacob and the children of Jacob, are a reflection of the different types of people who Moses was addressing. Because we know Jacob and Israel are both names of our father, our forefather, Jacob.
Yeah.
Jacob was the name that he was given at birth, and it reflects his ability and his innately holy Jew, born spiritually pure. Israel is the name that he received when, as an adult, he demonstrated the courage and maturity to struggle against adversity and independently chose to transform himself. So the house of Jacob is a reference to our birthplace. Because we don't get to pick our parents. We have done nothing to deserve the treasures into which we were born. The children of Israel, by contrast, describes us as the adults we have become, who choose our own paths in life and deserve the rewards that we have personally earned. So God was instructing Moses to speak to both levels and tailor his message to every stage in the journey through life. So God is really speaking to all of us all the time. No matter what we've been doing till now, we can and must do better in the future. You know, the training we receive to date and the legacy we inherited from our parents and our teachers are useful only if we utilize them to better ourselves in the future. We were all born holy. Every single person is born pure. Now we have to just improve on it. We have that choice to do it. So that when we gather in the synagogue on Sunday to hear the Ten Commandments and receive the Torah anew, let us truly be grateful for the gifts that we have received in the past, and let us promise to transform ourselves into the people that God wishes us to become. And thus, we can earn His reward and confidence. So if I challenge everyone, if you don't light, you know, for example, Shabbat candles on a Friday night, try 1 week. Commit yourself to 1 week. If you don't put on tefillin, commit yourself. Try one thing. Don't give the excuse that I wasn't born into it. Because born into it, that's one thing. But we have the choice. We don't have that choice. I'm sorry. We don't have the choice what we're born into. We don't choose the lives that our parents gave to us for the first many years of our lives. But we do have the choice now, as adults, teenagers, to be able to decide and choose the life that I want to do and the life that I want to be able to live more refined way, in other words, connecting me to God. So now, speaking about Shavuot, Sunday, Saturday night, as I said, is Shavuot. Sunday, we read the Ten Commandments, like renewing our vows, renewing our contract with God. So what better place is to hear the Ten Commandments? So I encourage everyone, go to synagogue, go wherever you're going to go, and listen, at least hear the Ten Commandments. So we have, Chabad of Windsor has the Ten Commandments reading, Sunday, May 20th, which is this Sunday, at 10:30. Where there's going to be, right after the Ten Commandments reading, there's going to be a special kids program led by my wife, Rivka, with fun games, activities, so on and so forth. We're going to have a huge ice cream party with many different toppings that everyone can, all the kids can dip their ice cream in. We're going to have cheesecake and cheese danishes. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So it's not going to be that long. We're going to have service in the Shaar HaShemayim in the chapel at 10:30. Again, that's when we're going to read the Torah. And then right after that, the kids are going to go into the social hall and have a whole beautiful kids program. So it's open to anyone that would like to come. And obviously, it's free of charge, no charge for that. So that is Shavuot. And Monday, obviously, is Yizkor, where we remember the people that have departed. So that's an important day as well to go. It's a long weekend, so hopefully people aren't working, you're relaxing, so go spend the hour take on that commitment, spend the hour in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, that'd be nice. I'll be there next week, but
yeah,
in Jerusalem, in your synagogue, or wherever you're going to go to do the Yitzchor memory. So Friday night we have services at 7 o'clock. Shabbat morning is 9:30, followed by a Kiddush, and as well as Sunday, this week Sunday, 10:30, and Monday and Thursday at 10:15. And God, I want to just talk about for a second.
Yeah.
This past Shabbat, we had a IDF combat veteran, soldier come and speak to us. We had a whole Friday night dinner and Shabbat morning. We had a tremendous turnout on Friday night. We had over 70 people sitting down for dinner, plus listening to the speaker. It was spectacular. And Shabbat day also, we had probably about 50 people. Even with the rain that came down so hard, it didn't deter people from coming. And he was absolutely beautiful. The room was spellbound. You could put a needle, just tap it on the floor, you could hear it. It was incredible. People stayed afterwards to ask questions. So whoever wasn't there definitely missed out, but we are going to be doing another something like this before Rosh Hashanah, and then hopefully before the end of the year. There was a beautiful response from the community, so it is going to be a beautiful year.
God willing.
So that's that. So next week, maybe, hopefully, depending where we are, maybe you'll be able to try and call me on my cell phone. And if possible, maybe we'll be able to do an interview from Jerusalem.
That will be great.
I will be in Israel next week for a few days for a wedding. So hopefully I'll make it my best effort to try and connect, and maybe we can do an interview from there.
Sounds good.
Have a wonderful Shavuot. Shabbat Shalom.
Same to you and to your family and to the whole community.
Yes, and we'll talk, I hope, next week.
Shabbat Shalom and Chag Sameach.
Be well. You too. Bye-bye.